You're listening to the Star Wars Splash Page, Comics in Review.
It is episode number 186, and we are going to go all Indiana Jones on you because we are back with new Star Wars comics led by Dr. Aphra, Volume 2, Number 2. And man, it feels good to be talking about some new Star Wars comics, Jeff. Real good.
Geek me all knowing box set, stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
Yes, although we'll have to discuss just how new this comic feels. There's a little spoiler to my opinion on this week's book. But I don't know if you heard, but when I did the intro there, my voice almost cracked. So I was a little concerned for myself for a second. Maybe I was going through second puberty, but it seems to have, ship seems to have righted itself. I think we're good to go.
I think we're fine.
I have no idea.
Will you go to the fall prom with me?
Oh, so yes, we do. We do have a new book, Dr. Aphra, Volume 2, Number 2, to talk about. But I think we hopefully have a little bit of news as well.
Well, we don't have a whole bunch of news per se. It's just that this is the week that San Diego Comic-Con at Home launches. And as we discussed on last week's episode, the all-news episode, there is a couple of panels that will probably be of interest to Star Wars fans. I mean, there is a panel on the Dr. Aphra audio drama, which was just released on July 21st. So you're probably still listening to that, actually, before you listen to this. And of course, they are going to have the Lucasfilm Publishing Stories from a Galaxy Far, Far Away panel as well. So that's definitely going to be worth watching. The big panel, of course, the publishing panel, is Friday, July 24th from 12 to 1 and features authors Timothy Zahn, Alex Segura. He's writing the new Poe Dameron novel. Justina Ireland, who today, which is, of course, Monday, July 20th, was doing a nice little series of tweets about how important Star Wars comics and books are. Nice. In terms of storytelling. Yeah, totally. It was really cool. In addition, there's also author George Mann, Preeti Chibber, Tom Engelberger, Rebecca Roanhorse, and Greg Pak and Alyssa Wong. Greg Pak, of course, is writing the Darth Vader monthly, and Alyssa Wong is writing the Dr. Aphra monthly. So, and of course, this is being hosted by Kristen Baber and Lucasfilm Publishing Senior Editor Robert Simpson. So again, I think you might have to create an account over at ComicCon2020.com. But, and of course, since it's all at home and not in person, you don't have to wait in line to get in, which is always a good thing. Yeah. And of course, as I said, also the same day, an hour before the big publishing panel is the Star Wars audiobooks Dr. Aphra audio drama panel. And that's going to feature the narrators of that book, including Mark Thompson and Emily Wu Zeller, as well as the author Sarah Kuhn and the Del Rey editor Elizabeth Schaefer, as they talk about the adaptation of the Marvel Comics series. So, and of course, this conversation will be moderated by audiobook producer Nick Martorelli. And then ongoing, as always, as we also mentioned last week, we do have, Force Fest, which is coming August 28th through the 30th. You can find them on Twitter, I believe under Force Fest Saga, and they're still seeking panel submissions, volunteers, and more. So we definitely recommend you check that out. We have ourselves put in for a panel. We will see if we get in. And of course, the deadline for submitting that panel, a panel request or a panel offering, is August 1st. So you still have a couple of weeks.
Yeah, still have a couple of weeks. Time to brainstorm and get your paperwork sorted.
Exactly. And other than that, this is the week when we should be getting October solicits. Obviously, you know, we know what's coming, you know, we know what's coming in terms of some of the books. You know, we know that, you know, we're expecting a Darth Vader 6 and, you know, a Dr. Aphra number 5 and, of course, a I believe a Star Wars number 7. What will be interesting to see is if we get a publishing date for the Rise of Skywalker adaptation, as well as any details on, hopefully, fingers crossed, this year's return to Vader's castle. So,
cannot wait. And yeah. And just in some Star Wars splash page news, we do have a Young Padawan show that will be forthcoming. Jeff just has not had a chance to get it edited yet, but that will be forthcoming within the next week as well. So in between this show and the next one, you look for a Young Padawan's edition show in your podcast feed.
Doing our level best to give you content day in and day out. Well, rather week in and week out. So,
right.
So, yeah. So no, brand new Star Wars comics, of course, out today. Dr. Aphra number 2 is the new Star Wars comic. Also out today is The Rise of Kylo Ren number 1, the fourth printing, and Star Wars number 3, the second printing. And if you're curious as to our thoughts on both of those books, I implore thee, visit StarWarsSplashPage.com, and you can check out those episodes wherein we discussed those books. Now, Jeff, shall we roll like a boulder, chasing an erstwhile archaeologist, carrying treasure and loot into the jungle?
You're confusing me again. Are we talking about Indiana Jones or are we talking about Dr. Aphra?
We're talking about them both.
Oh, okay. This is issue number 2, The Rings of Vail, Haunted.
Haunted. Main cover by Valentina Reminar, of course.
Really, really nice cover. Really creepy. Yeah,
I like it. The variant cover is by Sarah Pacelli and Tamara Bonvillain. Also a pretty cool cover. Writer, as we said earlier, is Alyssa Wong. Artist is Marika Cresta. The color artist is Rochelle Rosenberg. Letters are by VC's Joe Caramagna. The graphic designer is Carlos Lau. The assistant editor is Tom Groneman. The editor is Mark Panizia. And for Lucasfilm, senior editor, of course, Robert Simpson. Creative director, Michael Siglane. From the Lucasfilm Story Group, we've got Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And from the Lucasfilm Art Department, Phil Shostak. And it's been a while since we've had issue number 1, because if you'll recall, issue number 1 came out digitally May 4th. And then and then in print came out at the end of May. So,
right, so it's been a while, and I did have to go back, and I didn't go back before reading this issue and read it again, because I wanted to see how they were able to keep the story going and treat this as if it was somebody's first comic. And I do want to give a special set of kudos to the creative team, especially Alyssa Wong, because the writing on this really does bring us up to speed and gives us enough callbacks to the last issue that, since it has been a while, there's not a lot. I was never lost. I'll put it that way. And I did go back and skim the first issue when I finished to kind of make sure I hadn't forgotten anything. And I did remember everything. So they did a really good job there. That being said, this story for this issue really, to me, and we'll talk about why, but it really felt like a retread of the last issue.
Really?
It really did, because they both end the same. We have the same sort of almost the same sort of cliffhanger on it.
Mm-hmm. Guns akimbo.
Yeah, and from the same group, you know, descending upon the same group. So it just, yeah, it seemed very very samey to me. Okay. So and again, not to say that it's bad. I enjoyed the book, but just after I had some space between this and when I went back and reread the first issue, I realized just how much of the same ground it seemed to cover.
Okay, and now here is the question: was it like that before the delay, or was it the result of the delay from the coronavirus?
And I wondered about that, but you'd have to imagine that this was they didn't go back and rewrite it.
No, I don't think so.
There's no way that they would have gone back and done that. So
I think, you know, because most of these were probably, you know, already at least the first two issues were probably in the can and ready to go.
So I have to imagine that this is maybe just the creative team still finding their footing, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, it's not a poorly written book by any stretch of the imagination. It's just the story itself seemed very, very familiar.
See, I had the complete and opposite reaction to your assessment, because I felt that this issue packed so much detail into 22 pages.
Oh, it absolutely did.
But without sacrificing story pacing or quality, but while still making it very fundamentally easy for somebody to jump on board with this issue and not feel totally lost. However, interesting, you know, a couple of things that I noticed, and I'll start at the top here, is, you know, when you turn the cover and you go into the first page, you know, you have the frontisplate here, that, you know, has all the details and, you know, brings us our, not really our crawl, but our summary and our list of characters. But did you notice that, each character has a different color for one of the rings of Veil?
Yes, I did. I wondered about that.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was just, you know, nice little touch there, I thought. But, you know, let's jump right in here because, you know, we open up, we're at the University of Barleth years ago, and we are here with, you know, this is Eustacia Acca and Dr. Aphra, and clearly they're both students. Akka's just like, you know, you're going to have to stop falling asleep in lecture. And then you have Aphra being Aphra, or what? The Saba is going to fail me? I know the material front and back. Besides, I saw you reading on your data pad, and this is the first thing I noticed. And a lot of this, I thought, was prevalent in this issue, is they're seeding the upcoming High Republic.
Absolutely.
It's starting to proliferate, and we're going to see more of this, I think, in the other books as well. But, you know, because what was Akka reading? Lost Legends of the High Republic. It's dissertation research, which I think is interesting because, you know, given the time, you know, the time that this book is set, the Empire is in power. So it would seem that, you know, if you'll recall, at least according to the lore, and the lore is never wrong until it's changed, is that, right. You know, all traces of the Jedi are being wiped out. History is being rewritten. So it's so I was kind of wondering, like, huh, so is this sort of, you know, is Akka perhaps skirting some danger here by looking at the High Republic, you know, which would, you know, as which has so far been billed in the real world, you know, as sort of like, you know, a high watermark for the Republic, for the old Republic. Well, not the old Republic, but, you know, for the Republic.
Right.
So, you know, and if that's the case, which I think it is, it's kind of interesting because it definitely helps seed what we see in the present day of this issue. And of course, you know, Akka goes on to say, yeah, I know it's weird and it probably sounds stupid. And then of course, Aphra, you know, arm around the shoulder. Yeah. You worry too much about what other people think. We get a nice kiss and she goes, yeah, you're right. Thanks, Chelly. And then we, you know, then we turn and then boom, we go to present day. We're on the arc.
A transition.
Yeah. I thought it was a solid transition. I like that. So, you know, we're on the Archangel 3 and, you know, there's Akka, you know, are you sure you're right, Aphra? This is the fastest way to Dianth. And of course, Aphra, very cocksure as always. Of course, I'm right. I always am. You'll get to see your cursed city soon enough. Right, Black K? You know, and then we get, you know, we get TA, the droid from Jedi Fallen Order video game.
Didn't we talk about the last time about the fact that his name is TA as in teacher's assistant?
I don't think we did, but good observation, my man.
It just hit me this time around, and I can't believe I missed that the last time.
I love it. Yeah, it's TA-418. So, and again, this is an issue, a longstanding issue I have with this. Stop writing out the letters.
Well, I guess in this situation, they're afraid people would read it as Ta.
Maybe. Or just write T hyphen A.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, it's a minor little quibble of mine that I will never, ever give up, ever.
This is the hill you've chosen to die on.
This is the hill upon which I will die. So, it's C-3PO, not, you know, S-E-E hyphen T-H-R-E-E-P-I-O.
All one word. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So T-A, it shows them a recording that he's made of Ronan Togg.
Mm-hmm. And of course, as we discussed when we were discussing Dr. Aphra number one, you know, the tag name, you know, harkens back to volume one of Marvel Star Wars comics, you know, stuff that of course is now Legends. And even then Marvel comics were always, you had expanded universe, kids books, comics. So
yeah, they always had one foot in canon anyway.
Yeah, so it's nice to see that the infamous Tag family is back in canon, so to speak. And of course, you know, Ronan is a collector, and like you said, I thought they did a nice job here. Because he likes to collect things, and then precious things and precious items, and then destroy them so that nobody else
be the last person to touch them. And I hate that idea. I think it's an interesting flaw, you would say. I think it's an interesting character component, but it seems a little ridiculous. But it's also very much in keeping with the life of privilege that this guy has no doubt led.
Exactly. So this is a hollow, hollow net message to Akka. Hello, Professor Akka. I trust you are well and receiving my message. And of course, Aphra's a Ronan Tog. We're gonna have to message Alyssa or Mark or Tom and ask them, is it Taga or Tag or Tog?
I go with Tog just because Tag is too much like Tag and Bink.
I'm kind of thinking it's Taga. So then, of course, Detta Yao is like, Tag, how did he find us? And Detta Yao is the student who has hired Aphra and her crew, which is Black K and Just Lucky, to take them, to find the Rings of Veil, to basically go to Dianth. And of course, Just Lucky's like, yeah, relax. It's a pre-recorded transmission. The real question is how did he get access to the professor's droid? But this is where we get a nice little setup from the previous issue.
And this is the exposition from the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mercenaries were rough in their approach, but I'm still interested in working with you to find the Rings of Veil. Because imagine what we could accomplish with the full weight of the Taga dynasty's power and resources at your disposal. And of course, Akka's like, no. And this, I thought this was the most biting line of the book. We already have one liar aboard the ship.
Right.
nice little jab to Aphra here.
And once again, just a reminder that Aphra has never ended on good terms with anyone.
No, it is either a personality flaw or a personality attribute. I haven't decided which yet.
And Ronan continues with the message. He says, however, if you choose to pursue the rings with present company, I'm afraid I'll show no mercy. I will have the rings and I will destroy anything in my way. And then I'll destroy the rings, I think, is the unspoken part.
Yeah.
And he's like, please give my regards to Dr. Aphra. And the look on Aphra's face that's drawn there, the art team here has done a great job. I love the style of this book because we've got a lot of soft focus in it, and it goes in and out. And I really did like it. I thought it was very effective.
I think Marika and Rochelle work very nicely with each other. They complement each other's work immensely. And I do have to give some plaudits here to Rochelle's colors. Because like if you look at say like up the page in the second the third panel if you're going across and down and we see Akka there, but you see the faint blue of the HoloNet message bouncing off of her green skin, and you see the bluish tint, so that to me is very effective, and that's something that could be overlooked. In this case, it was not. And then, like you said, the way Marika has drawn Aphra, with her,
scowling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
And it's interesting because in this issue, Aphra really is, it really is an ensemble. Aphra is sort of the leader of the crew, but she is by no means the main character here.
No, at least not yet. I think right now, especially with this issue, our main character is Akka.
Absolutely.
So, but it is very much an adroitly written ensemble story. I mean, Aphra, of course, is our protagonist, is there a word for immorally ambiguous and
anti-hero?
Anti-hero.
Anti-heroine.
She's immediately, not so much resentful as, some people just can't take no for an answer. Hopefully, Tog is looking for the Archangel, too. May she rest in pieces. And then, of course, Just Lucky, whom I'm liking a lot because he seems to be our reader's representative here.
Right.
Wait, explain this dear Dr. Aphra thing. That's a story and a half. And Akka.
Aren't they all?
Just Akka. We've got time before we reach Dianth. Elucidate.
Right. And I love the way that's highlighted there. Elucidate. So she tells him the story. She ran this job for Tag a while back. When it came time for payment, we had a bit of a disagreement. And then we get a flashback, and we get a lot of flashbacks here, which I like.
That's wholly appropriate, I think, especially this book.
Absolutely. And you know, she's in this flashback, she's located for him a piece of rare coral from Alderaan's polar sea, which, of course, since the planet no longer exists, you can imagine how valuable it is. And this is where Aphra reminds us that what he does is he touches it and then disintegrates it so that he's the last person to have touched it. And, of course, she's figured out a way to double-cross him. She says, I'm still an archaeologist after all. And Daka says, so you refuse to make the delivery. Okay. And she says, oh, no, I let him pay me. Then I stole them back. Along with the other things to compensate me for my time. And then Lucky's like classic Aphra, which, of course, we know. And then we get this. And I love the way that they've drawn Ronan in these. You know, I think we mentioned the last time. He looks like a little kid playing sailor. His outfit. I love it. I think it's extremely appropriate. And so he's sending his goons out after her. And she says, I hear that he eventually brought some of it back on the black market for 3 times the price. And Ike says, well, Tag was a fool to trust you, but a fool with a vendetta. I won't allow him to interfere with my research and destroy the rings. And Aphra's like, yeah, you act like this is all my fault. And Eustace says, well, isn't it always? And again, that image just of you know, the half of Eustace's face in the foreground with Aphra in the background trying to play coy.
That is such a perfect inset image, too, because, you know, she's like, yeah, look, you know, you're damaged goods, but I still can't resist you. But God, you're bad for my health and you're bad for my business. So, you know, if anyone in the Star Wars galaxy can relate to what Akka is thinking, it's Magna Tolvan.
Magna Tolvan, exactly.
So
they make it to Dianth, and they said, you know, they land.
But look at this! Look at this full page. I love this full page.
That's great.
I mean, these colors
out and everything.
Yeah, you can tell that you're landing on a dead world. I mean, because you see the denuded trees. You see debris just littered about, rocky crags, you know, thick clouds that appear sooty and block the light. And, you know, and we get that nice little Dianth, the Malatoris system. And we see the Archangel 3 coming in, you know, boom. Well, we're here. Nothing in your way now.
And then I love Aphra's response, or it's Lucky's, when they land. Lucky says, a lot of wreckage scattered around here. How hard is it to land a ship? And they find the city. The Lost City of Vale is right there.
Which I think was great because, you know, I was expecting us to, you know, I didn't think we were going to get this far in the book.
It was a little surprising to me, and I can't decide if it makes sense or not. I guess we're going to find out why the city doesn't need to be hidden, because I think they were expecting the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the student, I can't remember her name, says it's real. No one's going to believe that we found this.
Yeah, Deda Yao is just she is just overcome. And I think the way Marika has drawn Akka, even Akka is just a bit overwhelmed. It's like,
yeah, before, thunderstruck.
It's right there. You know, and just again, the way it's drawn, I mean, it looks as if it's been ossified. You know, it looks like it's carved from bone.
Absolutely. Eustace even says the text mentions carvings made from living stone, because Aphra says, careful, nobody lose their fingers. And Eustace says that about living stone. She says, but these are far beyond the constructs of Utapau and Ba's pity.
And that's important because, you know, in Utapau, because I know this because I was rereading some stuff about it. And, you know, that apparently that Utapau, like, you know, when you see in like Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. that's not rock. It's bone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's made from like the skeletons of old creatures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just, you know, kind of rammed them into the sinkholes. And like, Deda Yao,
like coral.
Yes. Almost. And Deda Yao, she mentions that the Architects of Vale were said to be a secret society of master artisans, but this isn't marble or limestone. It's bone. And then she gets surprised by a face. And this is creepy. Like, you know, we're used to with Dr. Aphra. It sort of skirts that line of sci-fi/horror every once in a while.
Oh, very much so.
And Deda insists that she saw it move. Black Chrysanthemum, I think, is a little perturbed. And Aphra says, I know, fascinating as this is, I don't like it either. We should be walking through ruins, but these buildings are almost pristine.
And then we start, you know, with Lucky, you know, because we hear that, you know, we see, thanks to the lettering, you know, and it's just Lucky who's hearing it. Because, like, ugh, what's that high-pitched sound? And Aphra's like, what sound? I don't hear anything.
That's interesting, and I wonder if that's going to come back. I don't recall us getting an explanation here for what he's hearing.
Well, we come back to it in a few pages, but you know, of course, we have Detta. She's examining. She goes like, well, maybe these are carvings. And, you know, here's the thing is I'm not entirely sure that these are carvings or, you know, if this, I mean, there's something very off about this city.
Their souls trapped in the bone. That's what that was my assumption.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Which kind of jives with what we see later on in the book. As Aphra says, if they are, somebody went overboard.
Oh, very much so. And it just evokes to me the wonderful weirdness that Star Wars can be sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, but this is also hearkening back to me to that whole, what was the Vampire Queen that we had in Star Wars Volume 2?
Remember that? I can't remember. Yeah.
Just
from the Screaming Citadel.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, yeah. Just outright weirdness. So.
And I love the next panel. Chrysanthemum sees something in Aphra says, you saw someone wearing, we see a foot just leaving out of frame, actually scuttling. They actually wrote the word scuttle in there, which is great. And Lucky says, I had to break the news to everyone, but this place is giving me serious creeps. What is that sound? And nobody else hears it. And Detta realizes that Professor Akka is gone. She says, where's Professor Akka? They start looking for her. But they find her in a room, and she's found the fabled workshop of the architects of Vale, where they made all the kinds of wonders, including the rings.
And my God, this mural on the floor.
Yeah.
Props to Marika for drawing this. Shout out to Alyssa for describing it the way she's described it. I mean, this looks like something that you would see out of an Indiana Jones novel. You know, just
right. X marks the spot.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking like Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, for example.
Right.
You know, it's got this nice archaeological vibe. It's very treasure hunting oriented, and that's I find the more I've been reading Volume 2 of Dr. Aphra is that I'm really digging it when they do that Indiana Jones motif. You know, because I mean, you know, we have said many times before that she's Star Wars' Indiana Jones.
Absolutely.
Except with a much, again, morally ambiguous attitude.
Right.
But it just, it's just something about this appealed to me. And, you know, like you said, Akka's the fabled workshop of the architects of Vale, where they made all kinds of wonders, including the rings. And then Aphra says, this isn't just a mural, it's a map. To which Akka replies, that's right. The workshop is underneath us.
And that brings us to this next page, which is my favorite page of the whole book. I love the way this is laid out.
Oh, this is awesome.
Start at the top with Chrysanthemum opening up the door, Lucky jumping through. And then we watch the crew as they walk, climb down these stairs and have this conversation about the paintings they're seeing on the wall.
Yep. And it's interesting because, Detta Yao has really done her research on this. The Architects of Vale were a highly clandestine order. I've scoured the university library, but I found little record of their methodology. A poorly transcribed legend, a fleeting reference translated half a dozen times from its primary source's language. I could spend the rest of my life writing about this find. And then, of course, we get our next High Republic drop here from Aphra. Well, these murals are full of High Republic iconography. They look like they were pulled out of the bone and painted over. Very atmospheric. Loving it. I should get the ship decorated like this. And that is totally an Aphra thing to say.
It is.
And absolutely. And then, of course, Akka, Dr. Akka is, Professor Akka is being very serious. Those images are warnings. The rings are not to be used together, but are to be used together, not separately. And then this is where we find out what the rings do. The ring with the sapphire gem, eternal life, but it drives the user to madness. The crimson gem, incredible fortune, but it speeds up their death. If worn by the same person, the rings will bless the wearer with eternal fortune, eternal life, and abilities to rival the most powerful force user. Or so the story suggests. And of course, Aphra chimes in. And this is very clever use. I do like how Joe Caramagna has lettered this page, because you do not get lost.
Not a bit.
Process. You know who's saying what. And then we see Aphra going, well, there's no way Ronan believes that. And then Akka replies, well, regardless of power, they're priceless. I'm sure he understands that part. And then, of course, that's where we get the sound again. And we turn the page and, whoa.
And again, more great art here as well.
Just the look of astonishment on Akka and Aphra's face here. And then the detail in these doors. Look at that.
It's wonderful. There's also what looks like a porg there. I know it's not a porg, but right
I
above
see it.
Aka's head.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A porg.
You know what? I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it right here and now, Jeff, and say that's a little Easter egg. That's a porg.
It works for me.
It's that's exactly what
yeah,
it is.
I'll buy it.
But I mean, this door looks like something out of Hieronymus Bosch and H.R. Giger.
Yes.
And I'm very blown away by what Marika Cresta has drawn here. And then again, the coloring is just flat out amazing because it looks like this door is designed, you know, as like a gateway to another dimension. Because if you look above it, it looks almost like star.
Looks like a starfield. Yeah.
So.
No, it really is just phenomenal. And so Aka says we now have to figure out how to get inside. And TA, of course, you know, has something to say. And now Lucky, the sound is killing me. He says none of you hear it. And Aphra says maybe it's the rings driving you crazy. And he says, of course, not funny, Doc.
And of course, we have Detta.
Detta coming up. She says, of course, the master artist has left the door locked. We're going to need a key of some sort, possibly two or three. And then there's some scratching, it looks like, and we see a leave. Who is that? And we see this nightmarish figure crawling out. I don't know who's saying it, but somebody's saying, "What's wrong with him?"
Yeah, and again, perfect way to emphasize, you know, that yell, because it's, you know, it's all bolded, and then it's surrounded in red.
So. And then, yeah, it's just straight out of Event Horizon. You say, "Leave while you can. This cursed place." And I love Aphra's response. What the fark is that? and of course, Aka says, "No way. There's no way." Another explorer, and Detta says, "Dr. Aphra, Professor, they're alive." And all of the images in the door start screaming. And Detta says, "Could these be the architects?" And Aka says, "Under the curse of the rings, driven to madness and granted eternal life." And Aphra just starts shooting. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Putting the poor sap out of his misery." She shoots the little demon that came after him. And Aphra says, "Keep it together. There's a difference between a curse and a mutation." So, and this is, you know, very much Indiana Jones. You know, she's very matter of fact, you know, science, there's an answer. There's a scientific answer. You know, I don't believe in ghosts, basically, even though she's seen four spores, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The door's creepy, but it's not alive. Of course, like he says, "Oh, you're right." And Detta says, "I don't know. I mean, this is turning out to be a terribly exciting dissertation." Aphra says, "Let's just focus on getting this baby open. If I were a master architect making a horror door, where would I put the key?" Of course, Black Chrysanthemum, this, you know, offers to blow it up. She says, "Well, we'll try blowing it up if all else fails." She looks at it. She says, "Maybe it's not." And Detta says, "Maybe it's not an actual key, some other kind of device. And this is just a decoy." And Aka says that would make sense based on what we know of the architects. I'll check the murals to see if they contain any clues. But Lucky goes with her, so they're heading up back up the stairs. And
then we cut, you know, to Aphra talking to Black Chrysanthemum.
Something isn't adding up. I mean, Detta said the car face is outside, we're moving, but I didn't see anything. And Detta has TA to scan the mural so they can preserve a record.
Smart, very smart move.
And Aphra says, and Lucky keeps hearing that sound that no one can hear. And, you know, upstairs, they're not finding anything. Or I guess maybe they're crawling down further. It looks like they're on. I see they've gone up the stairs to look at the mural, but now they're coming back down.
Yeah.
So. And Aphra says, "I'm starting to think there's something about this place that's making us hallucinate." And Aphra says, "Hey, Lucky, how many arms did the guy I shot have?" He says, "Six. Why?" And Detta says, "That's not what I saw." So yeah, we know something weird is going on, and she finds something. It's like a canister of some sort. She says, "I think I found something. It might be the key." And Aka tells her to be careful. She says, "I think it's a code. There's a pattern on here, and it starts making this god-awful clanging noise." And Aphra says, "Make it stop." And so Black K and Lucky just start shooting at it and just blow it up. And Lucky says, "Huh, good thinking." And so then the floor starts rumbling. And so we know we're in for something, and the floor just opens up.
And can we just talk about, before we get to the page where it opens up, this bottom right corner panel where we see everybody from behind and we see the energy start to surge through the floor, and that's where we get the rumble. And it just, you know, with the way those lines are, you can tell that it's just hurtling toward them.
Yes. It's very kinetic.
It is. But I just thought it was very effective.
Absolutely. And then the next page we see the same, they've all turned around. And they're watching it now.
And it's like, whoa, Rumble.
So the floor opens up. Lucky, Black Krasantan, and Akka all fall through. And I guess Akka's the only one that actually falls. Yeah. And Afra can't catch her.
Well, they all fall. I mean, you know, but it's just,
okay. Yeah, she's the only one that we see fall. That's right.
Yeah, all that's left up on top is Afra and Detta. And yeah, this is the way Marika Cresta draws faces and these actions. I mean, because you see Akka start to go down in the hole. Shelly, Eustacia. I mean, they're doing first names, and then Detta reaches behind. No, Doctor, you'll fall. No, I have to. And then. Click. What a shame.
And you're talking about the faces. The look on their faces are priceless.
They are. And then it's Taga's mercenaries.
He says, it seems we've arrived too late to apprehend the good professor. Luckily, she's not the only archaeologist on site. Now, Dr. Afra, time to lead us to the Rings of Ale. And isn't this almost exactly how the last book ended? We got this scene, and then we cut to Ronan in his playpen, I guess, for lack of a better word, but this is how the last book ended, and so that's why I'm having a little bit of deja vu.
Yeah, but see, I think it's also it had to end this way because the setup toward the front of the book, it made me think that all right, Taga has he didn't know where they were going, or he didn't know how to get there,
right?
So now, all of a sudden, they're there, so something's up. So they must have had a tracker on the Archangel 3 or something. And then, we have them there, and of course now we've got, essentially, in D&D parlance, the party has been split, because you have Afra and Detta on up top side.
The fellowship is broken.
The fellowship. And then we cut, and again, I like this panel. It's a great way to end this issue. It's time to lead us to the Rings of Vale, and we see that over the unconscious forms of Eustacia and Just Lucky and Black Chrysanthemum. So now the question is for the next issue, and of course, in looking at the cover for it,
it's a great cover. Yeah, we'll talk about that next when we get to it. That is a great cover.
Because everybody's just going nuts. So, yeah. I mean, so we got something.
Like I said, I enjoyed the issue. I thought it was very well done. It just, the storyline seemed a bit of a rehash to me. So I'm withholding judgment on it, obviously, until we get to the next issue. So I'm hoping that the next issue is not just another episodic they get away and manage to get caught up with again.
Yeah,
so
hopefully that is not the case. But I think ultimately, I think in the third issue, somebody's going to get those doors open. And I'm really genuinely curious to see what's behind those doors.
As am I.
So, and of course, we will find that out on August 26th when Dr. Afra number 3 is scheduled to be released.
And you're absolutely right. The one thing that these two issues do have in common that I can credit them for is packing a lot of action into, 20, 21, 22 pages. So much happens. It's really, really impressive. So
yes, indeed. So
yeah. So good book this week. Do we have any solicits for next week?
We do. We get Darth Vader number 3.
Well, it's about time.
Seriously. And then of course,
I can find 1 and 2.
We get Darth Vader number 2 second printing. So, if you're having problems finding the first printing of Darth Vader number 2, you can get the second printing. And then also out July 29th is the Rise of Kylo Ren trade, which is collecting the 4-issue miniseries.
Oh, excellent. So if you didn't get any of those in the floppy issues because they didn't print enough, you can get the trade.
Exactly. Works out nicely that way, doesn't it?
Yes. All right. So, and we'll be back next week then to discuss Darth Vader number 3.
Definitely so.
And until that time, I'm Jeff.
And I am still Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!